Hello and welcome to the Lying Media Bastards radio show.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living room. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window. Open it and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Stand for the sake of my friends. ascertain status. Spectacular terrains ingrained with deep patterns. Possible process viewed as progress with minimal steps. One tends to digress. Devise verbs to act basic balance. Beneath bricks, line meanings unchallenged. Average actors equate to non-factors. Your formula, your prose, disaster is enamored by text. Tempt to force my words straight motion. Only be perceived by the chosen. Same tree still grows in Brooklyn. Visibly mistook and maintain pain constant. Theme central in Brooklyn. Mental arose like canyon rock for sediment. All actions evolve past sentity. Militant streets type of male leave a rocker. Await actions from heads that ain't proper. Words, strength, and emotions, they foster. Bricks crumble under feet of this author. Militant streets type of male leave a rocker. Await actions from heads that ain't proper. Words, strength, and emotions, they foster. Bricks crumble under feet of this author. Existence exposed core elements. To breathe through concrete still seems irrelevant. Irrational acts accentuate our arrogance. Assassins, arrows aimed at the affluent. Tongue stuck to pavement, we hold no influence. Maintain the statements, we're lost with our innocence. Inexact science defined by home sense. Designed our demise in past tense. Tumultuous results raise brow with doubters. Debated innate abilities amongst oceans of cowards. Conceived concept convinced the lucid. The value of a voice seen the movements. Melancholic lyrics became the mundane in this maze. Awake my cohorts with verbal tirades. Militant streets type of male leave a rocker. Await actions from heads that ain't proper. Words, strength, and emotions they foster. Bricks crumble under feet of this author. Militant streets type of male leave a rocker. Await actions from heads that ain't proper. Words, strength, and emotions they foster. Bricks crumble under feet of this author. Militant streets type of male leave a rocker. Await actions from heads that ain't proper. Words, strength, and emotions they foster. Bricks crumble under feet of this author. Militant streets type of male leave a rocker. Await actions from heads that ain't proper. Words, strength, and emotions they foster. Bricks crumble under feet of this author.
Welcome back to the Lying Media Bastard Show. That last song there was Amy Winehouse. That song's been stuck in my head for about a week now. No, nice little R&B, soul-ish sort of thing. It's funny that she's a British white girl with a bouffant hairdo who looks sort of like she's doing some sort of rockabilly Betty Page thing. But the music was very good, and I really don't know much anything about her except that in the music press about every other day they have a story telling you that she's either in rehab or out of rehab, so I guess she had a drug problem, but that's all I know. Good song. For that we had Dalek, I never know how to pronounce these guys' names. But he does this nice, the song was Crumbled Brick, and he does this sort of futuristic, drony, ambient hip-hop thing, which I enjoy, but I think it's somehow a little bit more deep and pretentious than... No, wait, let me back that up. I think it seems deeper than it is. I think it's actually a little bit more on the pretentious side, probably. But still, sounds good. And then we started off with the AAAs doing Down Boy, which is off of their new EP. That was also a nice track. Okay, right now I'm going to play an item for you. It's called the Weekly Radio Spin. It's somebody else's radio program. I found it at radioforall.net, the A Infos Radio Project, they call itself. But it's this great archive of political audio that's been uploaded. I frequently put my stuff up there as well, radioforall.net. But anyway, Weekly Radio Spin is... Well, I guess I better give more background. There's an organization called the Center for Media and Democracy, and they run a website called PR Watch, prwatch.org, that looks at the... they shine on, you know, research and shine a light on the public relations industry, which, much like all things wriggly and disgusting, prefers darkness to light. But they... So they do a lot of reporting on what various PR agencies are doing to lie to people, to lie to them, convince them things that aren't true, shape their opinions, cover up atrocities, all that sort of stuff. So there's a website, prwatch.org, and these two people decided, I guess, at some point that it should be made into a podcast. There was so much good information at PR Watch that they were going to do their own. They were going to make a podcast. They weren't going to take any credit for the information from that they were reading. You know, they were sort of like newsreaders. They weren't taking any credit for the program, but they were creating it and putting it out there. And if you look up the website with where these podcasts are located, there's no author information, nothing. And I listened to it enough times that I decided, you know what, I'm going to start every time I do a show, I'm going to put the latest Weekly Radio Spin program. I'm going to insert it into mine so y'all can hear it. And as I decided to do this, I discovered today that PRWatch.org has decided apparently to start an official podcast of their material. I don't know. I imagine they were inspired by the Weekly Radio Spin. I don't know if Weekly Radio Spin's going to continue. What did PR Watch call their project? They got a name for what they call it. Weekly Radio Spin. Okay. Okay. So I don't know what's going to happen to the original unofficial Weekly Radio Spin podcast, which actually I listen to both, and I prefer the unofficial one, actually. So that's what you're going to get today. I'll play you hopefully not the last Weekly Radio Spin. And if it is, then I'll start playing the PR Watch's official one, I imagine, on my shows in the future. But even if they don't do it any longer, the unofficial folks, Jen Adams and Carl Bain, they do mention their names in the... just that they were the news readers. Thank you very much for the program, Jen Adams and Carl Bain. I've greatly enjoyed them, and now everybody else gets to enjoy them too, so listen up.
Welcome to Weekly Radio Spin, the week's roundup of public relations, propaganda, and media spin. As controversy rages over forthcoming federal Real ID requirements, state officials should be plotting public relations strategies to counteract the well-publicized rebellion, so suggest speakers at the Government ID Technology Summit in Washington, D.C. More than 30 states have introduced or passed measures that reject or criticize the Real ID requirement for federally approved machine-readable personal identification cards. Civil liberties, privacy, and immigrant rights groups have also criticized Real ID. Former Transportation Department official turned private consultant Betty Sirian told state and federal officials that it's a classic textbook case of good communications planning, working that into your implementation plan for Real ID. To decrease public opposition, she suggested using such pro-Real ID messages as it's a way to do the right things for the right reason, and it will help prevent identity theft. She stressed that the time is definitely now to plan Real ID messaging and outreach through direct mailings, public service announcements, and paid advertising. That's from CNET News. President Václav Klaus is getting help from a right-wing U.S. think tank to spread a message many see as anti-environmentalist and some Czechs say reflects badly on their country, reports the Prague Post. The Heartland Institute's new $1 million advertising campaign declares that global warming is not a crisis and features pictures of Klaus and Al Gore. Václav Klaus will debunk global warming myths at the UN, claims the ad, which ran in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Washington Times. Klaus told the Czech news agency that the UN conference on global warming will be a gathering of Goreites, so they're going to be shocked when they invited me by mistake. I'm going to give a very tough speech. Heartland PR director Thomas Swiss called Klaus a great defender of freedom and someone who really gets the potential damage that big government regulations can cause. Czech Environment Minister Martin Bursik and other national politicians have criticized Klaus's stance on global warming. Patrick J. Michaels is one of the global warming skeptics most often interviewed by news media. He withdrew as an expert in a high-profile Vermont court case rather than disclose his funding sources, reports the Society of Environmental Journalists. Michaels is a University of Virginia professor and Cato Institute fellow who edits the World Climate Report, a web publication heavily funded by coal and electric utility industries with a large financial stake in preventing regulation of greenhouse gas emissions. In the Vermont case, automakers challenged the state's right to regulate greenhouse gases and hired Michaels as an expert witness. Michaels told the court that he was dependent on income from his firm, New Hope Environmental Services, and that some of his clients require their funding to be confidential. When auto industry lawyers told Michaels that his financial information might be made public due to the environmental group Greenpeace's request for disclosure, Michaels withdrew as a witness in the case. In court filings, Michaels blamed 2006 news reports naming the Colorado-based coal-burning utility Intermountain Rural Electric Association as one of his clients, with the loss of funding from IREA and another utility, Tri-State Generation and Transmission Association. Outsourced radio news is when big city radio stations produce and package local news stories for sister stations in distant markets. An academic study of outsourced radio news concluded that the practice has drastically changed the news landscape. University of Colorado journalism professor Lee Hood found that more than 40% of radio stations now do news for stations outside their own market. The hub-and-spoke system enables large radio conglomerates to employ fewer people and cut costs, but authenticity, regional nuances, and topical public affairs reporting are lost in the process, according to a UC press release. Denver's KOA radio used to outsource news to Omaha, Nebraska, and Cleveland, Ohio used to provide news to Milwaukee stations. Cleveland stations still outsource news to Pittsburgh. Hood concludes, to have somebody who may not have even been in your community ostensibly deciding what's news in your community, well, I think that's alarming. The Center for Media and Democracy, where we get the source material for Weekly Radio Spin, is launching their own Weekly Radio Spin. It will come in a shorter form, around 2 minutes, and a longer form, around 4 minutes. It's freely available for both personal and broadcast use. You can find out more about it at prwatch.org. Thanks for listening to Weekly Radio Spin, news of public relations, propaganda, and media spin, adapted for radio from the Center for Media and Democracy's website, prwatch.org, where you can find these stories and more.
I'm a horny loser. You'll find me crashing through my mother's door. And I'm the ugly lover. They find us rolling on a dirty dancer. I'll shake forever, say that I'll never care. And I'm a building jumper, roof to roof, you see me flying in the
gift certificate by return mail right away.
say, but it's too late because you've already packed your things and gone away. If I told you that I was sorry, would it mean that you would stay? But it's too late because you've already packed your things and gone away.
Folks, welcome back to the show. That last song there was a Jellyfish. Most of you folks probably don't remember them. They were a sort of a two-hit wonder band back in the 90s, doing this weird... it was during the big alternative scene. They were sort of a retro, I don't know, love bop psychedelic, you know, Monkees sort of throwback, with a very very certain visual style on them as well. For that, we had Japanther doing... the file name I have here is Boys Donut Cry. I don't know if that's the actual title of the song, but obviously it's a cover of The Cure's Boys Don't Cry, done by Japanther, who has that's going to be on their new album coming out. for that, we had Living Color, early 90s hard rock metal outfit, all African-American. You don't see that very often, mostly because record industry folks do not like that. They're afraid that it falls outside the stereotypes and expectations, I guess. Remember seeing on MTV one time, they did this thing about... I think they had a show about racism, and they had a... I don't remember the call name of the band, but it was a different band. They were black and played heavy metal, and all the guys in the band were saying that like they had a trouble getting a record deal because the record executives were kind of afraid that they were suddenly going to go from metal to just like they were going to start playing funk or something. You know, it didn't fit into the way their brains worked or what they thought consumers would go for. So they were sort of a breakout in their way, I suppose, Living Color. But no, that song called Which Way to Get to Your America. And it's a nice... I guess they're not always the most subtle of guys, and towards the end of that song it got pretty shrill. But, you know, it's that same idea that, you know... on television, America looks like a great place, and for a certain segment of the population, it really is. But for other folks who live in, have to deal with racism, classism, poverty, homophobia, sexism, America, not quite so nice. So that's the whole point of that song is, well, wait a minute, if that America that's on the TV, that's not where I live. I must be in the wrong America. Get me a map so I can get to the good America that I see on the television. And then we started that whole thing off with... cover of the Pixies, Break My Body, done by Hanne Huckelberg, about whom I know nothing, and I really didn't intend to play half cover songs in that that segment, that be that music segment there, but oh well, I guess I did. And then before the music we had the weekly radio spin, the unofficial gorilla version, shall we say, and yeah, that... That was their last one, and on the posting they have for that one, they actually have a note saying, by the way, the PRWatch.org has started an official podcast called Weekly Radio Spin. We're not sure what we're going to do. They had an email address, which, of course, I can't remember anymore. I believe it was WRS@riverrock.org. Say, tell us what you want them to do. I wrote them and said, I like yours better than the official one. Please keep doing it. And I also hope that you don't mind that I'm going to... this is the first time I'm inserting it into my show, because my show is about news, politics, and media, and having a well-researched segment about propaganda and public relations and spin in the middle of that show. That don't hurt. I can't take any credit for it. They're the guy... The PRWatch.org does all the work on the research... And these two hosts of the show are the ones who took the those well-researched articles and turned it into a succinct, readable, listenable format, and put in that sort of... I'm not sure if that was flamenco or sitar in the background there, but good stuff. I'm frustrated that I forgot to post this this article on my website. Matt Taibbi from Rolling Stone magazine did this great report, The Great Iraq Swindle, about the horrendous way in which you and I, Americans, our money was just fucking stolen and given to a bunch of military contractors, political cronies, who frequently did not do the work they were supposed to do, or committed all sorts of crazy fraud and hoaxes to get that money. You know, for example, well, that's crazy. They have a lot of these contracts what they call cost plus, where you, the military contractor, are guaranteed to get repaid for all of the expenses that you incurred in providing the service, plus X percent. I don't know what sort of percent. 3%, 15%, something like that. which means that you're encouraged to spend money. You're encouraged to buy things that cost a lot of money, that are pricey, because you're going to get a return. You're going to get paid back for that, and you're going to get a percentage on top of it. My understanding is that some of these contractors created shell companies, and created shell companies for their shell companies, and up to like 7 levels, where, you know, basically you'd be, you know, like, you gotta buy forks for the mess hall, for the soldiers. That's what your company's been contracted to do. Well, you create another company called, you know, Forks Unlimited, and you buy your forks from them, but you have to mark it up, because, you know, your Forks Unlimited wouldn't sell you forks at cost, of course. They would want their own markup on it. But then you make another shell company. So Forks Unlimited didn't buy their forks from, you know, didn't make those forks. They bought them from, you know, Utensils Incorporated. And, you know, they had a price, and they marked it up and sold it to Forks Unlimited. And Forks Unlimited marked up the price, and then you got it. And then you put down to the government, we spent $17 per fork. Oh, give us our 15% on top of that. But they just kept doing that. They kept building these fucking pyramids of shell companies. So you keep tacking on markup. And that's just one thing. You know, it sounds like a lot of these things were just, they made shit up. You know, they had trucks go drive around to make fake deliveries so they could bill the government for deliveries. And my favorite, of course, is Custer Battles, the company. First of all, for that name. You're going to get involved in military work and your name is Custer Battles? Didn't Custer lose his battle? But they were just the worst hucksters. They were... They were a couple of special forces, ex-special forces guys who got a contract to provide security for the Baghdad airport. And it sounds like they just stole shit. They went to the airport and they were stealing forklifts from the airport and like those portable stair things you put up to the sides of airplanes. And they were repainting them and putting their name on them and then billing the government, saying, hey, we bought this forklift, pay us this money. And then, of course, the funniest part of that is they claim that... part of they had a contract to provide to have explosive sniffing dogs at the airport, and they actually just went into Baghdad and found a stray dog and claimed it was a bomb sniffing dog. So nice fellows. Anyhow, but I mentioned at the beginning of this the Matt Taibbi report, which is appalling and will make you furious or cry or explode spontaneously. At the Rolling Stone website, but on the Rolling Stone website, they actually have a little video clip, sort of an audio, you know, like a narrated slideshow. But the pictures aren't that important, so I've got the audio here. I'm going to play the audio for you now. But, yeah, it's pretty infuriating stuff. So, here's that.
This is a picture of the Baghdad Police College, or rather what was supposed to be the Baghdad Police College. If you pay taxes, you help pay for this building, which was supposed to be used to train Iraqi police recruits. You weren't involved with the negotiations, but here's the deal you made with the building contractor, a Pasadena-based corporation called Parsons. The deal was that they could spend as much money as they wanted, hiring as much labor and spending as much on materials as they wanted, and you'd pay them a 3% profit margin on top of that. That way, the more they spent, the more they made. That's called cost-plus contracting, and it was and still is standard operating procedure in Iraq. And spend more is exactly what Parsons did. They spent $72 million building a useless pile of rubble. The plumbing was so bad that the building's light fixtures and ceiling tiles were literally caked with human waste. When one government auditor showed up to review Parsons' work, a brown substance dripped onto his shirt sleeve. Did you ask for your money back? Not at all. In fact, you, the taxpayer, not only gave Parsons its full profit margin, you gave them merit increases for building what amounted to a $72 million pile of shit. As if that weren't bad enough, when Congress tried to complain, Parsons sent this asshole, a former Air Force Major General named Ernest Robbins, who joined the company after retirement, to give you the finger. When asked how he managed to spend $72 million on a pile of shit, Robbins answered, "I have some conjecture, but that's all it would be." When asked if he would offer to give the profits back, his answer was, "No, sir, I will not." You and I might not have gotten that police college we paid for, but Ernest Robbins did buy a new house in Virginia after he joined Parsons. That's how contracting in Iraq works. We pay for it over there, they build it here. Kellogg Brown and Root, a subsidiary of Dick Cheney's old firm Halliburton, was another contracting all-star. They were masters of cost-plus contracting. They dumped 50,000 nails in the desert because they were too short. They set a brand new truck on fire because it had a flat tire. After all, they reasoned, you'll just buy them a new one and give them a 3% profit margin for their trouble. They ran convoys of empty trucks back and forth dangerous desert territory teeming with insurgents just to get paid for making the trip. KBR truckers jokingly described their cargo as sailboat fuel. Nails and trucks weren't the only thing contractors could throw away. If they got their arms or legs blown off in the line of duty, you could throw away people, too. That's what happened to Russell Skoog, an air conditioning repairman from Texas who worked for a company called Wolfpack. Russell had to drive in dangerous nighttime convoys to repair AC units at remote bases. Sometimes the convoys drove without their lights on to be safer. Russell asked his company to pony up $1,000 to buy him night vision goggles so he could see while he drove. They refused, not wanting to spend the money. Eventually, Russell, while driving, got hit with a bomb that tore out 4 inches of his femur and mangled his left arm. He got airlifted to an army hospital in Balad, then to Germany, then finally back home to Texas. But when he got home, he got a bill from the army for $48,000 for the trip home. Then the rest of the bills poured in. His company, Wolfpack, had cut off his insurance. Now Russell owes over $500,000 in medical bills. He will be disabled for life. He's so broke that he can't even afford pain medication. Now, when the pain gets to him, he just takes ibuprofen. Or mostly, he says, he just deals with it. Meanwhile, his former boss, Mark Atwood, sits in a cushy office in Kuwait City, raking in your money. When I contacted Atwood for the story and asked him how he could do this to one of his own, he said that he just wanted some peace. When Russell's wife wrote to Atwood, asking him to keep his promise to cover at least some of the costs, he amazingly implied that the bombing was Russell's own fault. He wasn't supposed to be in the lead truck, he said. These are the kinds of people you've been making rich every time you pay your taxes, and you've been doing it for 4 years now. The point of this story is to show one reason why the Iraq War has been such a disaster. It's really not hard to figure out. We created a system where catastrophic failure paid just as well as success, and we got exactly what we paid for.
So that was Matt Taibbi's report on the contracting situation in Iraq, based on his Rolling Stone article called Great Iraq Swindle. I'll come back later in the show. We'll talk a little bit about the contractor that's getting its name in the news lately, Blackwater USA. So we'll come back for that. Now we got a song by a friend of mine sent me this. This is a pretty amazing song. However, it's in French, so a lot of it will be lost on we Americans and non-French speakers. The artist is, and I don't know if I'm going to get the pronunciation right, Kenny Arcana. I did a little, from what I read, I guess Wikipedia doesn't really count as research, I suppose. Kenny Arcana is born in Argentina, lives in France. So this is a rap song called La Rage, The Rage. Very radically politically, very radical politically, the video for it is amazing, and the video has subtitles in English, so I was able to understand what the song was about. But it's all just about anti-capitalist. I believe it actually brings up a phrase called alter globalization, which I thought was interesting because you always hear about anti-globalization activists. We're not actually against the unification of bringing together of people from around the world. We're against what globalization has come to be. Well, what has come to be known as globalization, which is the corporate version, it's the oppressive version, it's the workers have no right, fuck the environment, we're all serfs till we die, sort of globalization. So I kind of like this term, alter globalization, which is like, well, we're not against globalization, we just want it to change it. Which I thought was interesting. But the video is filled with all sorts of amazing footage of militant protest, radical activism, possibly riot porn, as it's sometimes called. But no, it's a great song, and the chorus of it is about having the strength, the heart, and the faith to keep on fighting, and not backing down. So I think I'll try to post a link. I'll try to remember to post a link to the video on my site, because it really is a great video, and you do need to watch it. So here's La Rage by Kenny Arcana. Mm-hmm.
entravée de vivre en travers, la rage gravée. Puis bien loin en arrière, la rage d'avoir grandi trop vite. Quand des adultes volent ton enfant, pas imagine un mur et aboli la rage. Car impossible et cette paix t'en voulu la rage. De voir autant de CRS armés dans nos rues, la rage de voir ce putain de monde s'autodétruire. Et que ce soit toujours des innocents au centre des tirs, la rage. Car c'est l'homme qui a créé chaque mur, ses barricades et béton. Aurait-il peur de la nature, la rage. Car il a oublié qu'il en faisait partie des harmonies profondes. Mais dans quel monde la colombe est partie, la rage. D'être autant balafré par les piquants des normes. Et puis la rage, ouais la rage, d'avoir la rage depuis qu'on est mort.
La rage.
On restera de tout quoi qu'il arrive.
La rage.
D'aller jusqu'au bout et là on veut bien nous mener la vie.
Parce qu'on a la rage.
On pourra plus taire ni s'asseoir. Dorénavant on tiendra prêt parce qu'on a la rage, le cœur.
Parce qu'on a la rage.
On restera de tout quoi qu'il arrive.
La rage.
D'aller jusqu'au bout et là on veut bien nous mener la vie.
Parce qu'on a la rage.
Rien ne pourra plus nous arrêter. Insoumis, sage, marginal, humaniste ou révolté. La rage. Parce qu'on choisit rien et qu'on subit tout le temps. Et vu que leurs choix sont bancales, et ben tout équilibre tout le temps. La rage. Car irréparable sans date depuis un bout de temps.
La rage.
Car qu'est-ce qu'on attend pour se mettre debout et foutre le bouc.
La rage.
C'est tout ce qui nous laisse.
Façon,
tout ce qui nous reste.
La rage.
Car combien des notes finiront par retourner leurs fesses.
La rage.
De vivre et de vivre l'instant présent. De choisir son futur libre et sans leur cri d'oppression.
La rage.
Car c'est la merde et que ce monde y adhère. Et parce que tous leurs chats OGM stérilisent la terre.
La rage.
Pour qu'un jour l'engrenage soit brisé.
La rage.
Car trop lisse vérité sur leur écran télévisé. La rage. Car ce monde ne nous correspond pas. Nous nourrissent de faux rêves pour placer leur rempart. La rage. Car ce monde ne nous correspond pas. Où Babylone s'engraisse pendant qu'on crève en bas.
La rage.
On restera de tout quoi qu'il arrive.
La rage.
D'aller jusqu'au bout et là on veut bien nous mener la vie.
Parce qu'on a la rage.
On pourra plus taire ni s'asseoir. Dorénavant on tiendra prêt. Parce qu'on a la rage. Le cœur.
Parce qu'on a la rage.
On restera de tout quoi qu'il arrive.
La rage.
D'aller jusqu'au bout et là on veut bien nous mener la vie.
Parce qu'on a la rage.
Rien ne pourra plus nous arrêter. Insoumis, sage, marginal, humaniste ou révolté.
La rage.
D'y croire et faire en sorte que ça bouge.
La rage.
D'un Chirac, d'un Charonne, d'un Tony Blair ou d'un Bush.
La rage.
Car ce monde voit rouge, mais de cris ça est entouré. Parce qu'ils n'entendent jamais les cris lorsque le sang coule.
La rage.
Car c'est le pire que nous frôlons.
La rage.
Car l'Occident n'a toujours pas ôté sa tenue de colon.
La rage.
Car le mal tape sans cesse trop. Et que ne sont plus mises au bout du jour. Tant de grâce à part ancêtres.
La rage.
Trop de mensonges et de secrets gardés. L'élite de nos états, riche de vérité, pouvant changer l'humanité.
La rage.
Car ils ne veulent pas que ça change. Hein. Nous faire garder leur pouvoir et nous manipuler comme leurs anges.
La rage.
Car on croit aux anges et qu'on a choisi de marcher avec de la rage. Parce que mes propos dérangent, font aux quatre coins du globe.
La rage du peuple,
l'ébullition, la rage. Voilà la rage ou l'essence de la révolution.
Parce qu'on a la rage.
On restera de tout quoi qu'il arrive.
La rage.
D'aller jusqu'au bout et là on veut bien nous mener la vie.
Parce qu'on a la rage.
On pourra plus taire ni s'asseoir. Dorénavant on tiendra prêt. Parce qu'on a la rage, le cœur.
Parce qu'on a la rage.
On restera de tout quoi qu'il arrive.
La rage.
D'aller jusqu'au bout et là on veut bien nous mener la vie.
Parce qu'on a la rage.
Rien ne pourra plus nous arrêter. Insoumis, sage, marginal, humaniste ou révolté.
Yeah. is a bulldozer with a wrecking ball attached. He'll leave a ring around your eye and tread marks on your back. He's an animal. He's hungry. You ain't been hungry since Supreme Clientele. Remember what you first told me when I took you in. You wanted to be a fighter. You wanted to be a killer.
New York,
you wanted
stand
to
up.
Be the champ.
Scott, your boy hungry. In the booth, nigga.
Matter of fact, I don't want you in my
chair. About to take New York against you.
Did you just play?
Godzilla bankroll. Stones from Sierra Leone. Yo, I ain't got it all. That means I'm barely home. Trailblazer, stay bold and revenge. My odds is crafty. Dogs, why y'all stuck on Laffy Taffy? Wondering, yeah. How did y'all niggas get past me? I've been doing this before. Nas dropped it nasty. My rivals, I did them up. Them bricks, I sent them up. My raps, I bit them up. For that, now stick them up. 10-4, good buddy. Tone got his money up. Worth million, still bad. Your bitch looking for me. What? Y'all staring at the angel with death. Lying, lying, pants on fire. You burning up like David Koresh. This is architect music. Verbal street opera. Pop a tech man. Flow, he got the projects. Moving indeed. I ran through the tunnel. Terrorized speed. That's when I was still in the jungle. Slinging that D.
Get out my face.
Ghostface Killa. Or was he going by Ghostface? I forget. He goes back and forth between the names, doing a song called Champ. For that, we had Nine Inch Nails doing The Hand That Feeds. Now, I've given Nine Inch Nails and Trent Reznor a lot of crap on the show before. Mainly because his latest album is this weird concept album about, we're in a fascist society, and only the artists will speak out, and the artists will be the resistance, and it's this, you know, sci-fi masturbatory, you know, art is rebellious, art is action sort of thing. And a couple times on the show I've said, well, geez, Trent, there's a real authoritarian society out there. How about you just take a stance against that one? You really have to make one up? to then take it. You should go take a stance in your fake political world, and you know, it bugs me. I mean, he's a fellow with, you know, a lot of fame and power. He could have been doing something. That song there, "The Hand That Feeds," when I first heard it, sounded like sort of a standard, you know, well done rock song. And then some, you know, like a year or something after it was released, I read something that was arguing that the song is actually about soldiers defying their superior officers. Huh. Bite the hand that feeds. Okay, I guess that might be true. And then just recently, I decided, you know what, I'm going to research that. That sounds kind of weird. That I don't know if that's true, that it's about that. And I found that found some articles claiming that it was more outspoken than that. It was broader. It wasn't about, you know, just soldiers standing up against their superior officers. It was about people taking a stand against power. And then I found out that in 2005, Nine Inch Nails was asked to and agreed to perform at the MTV Music or Movie Awards or something like that. And they were going to play that song. And they said that for the backdrop of their song, they just wanted to have a big picture of George W. Bush. So they'd be singing Bite the Hand That Feeds, and the whole time you're looking at the president, and that would make a not-so-subtle political message. MTV said they couldn't do that, that they wouldn't let them have that picture of George W. Bush in the back, and the band pulled out, refused to play if they couldn't put up their picture of Bush, so I guess they have to apologize some to Trent and Nine Inch Nails, that for all the times, the several times that I've, you know, sort of railed against him for not taking a stance in the real world, he kind of did. You know, 2005 was a little bit ahead of the bandwagon. You know, most, you know, for quite some time after 2001 and through probably around 2005, a lot of people didn't want to hear what the hell you had to say if it was against the president or the war or even any sort of criticism. So, a little bit ahead of the curve, and, you know, hey, good for him. For that Nine Inch Nails song, we had some weird band, Rum Springa, doing a song called Boogie. Don't know about them, but the song was good. We started that off with Kenny Arcana doing Larage, about fighting back against the evils of globalization and capitalism. The French term she uses in there, I think, is altermondialiste, which I think translates to alternate worlders. Yes, people who believe in another world. So, hey, cool. So, I've recently been reading the newest Noam Chomsky book. It's called Interventions. It's not one of his standard books where it's, you know, a big, huge, long polemic. It's not one of his. Also, he has a number of books of interviews. This is a book of short essays. But what really just got my attention right off the bat is that I had a preface from the editor of the book, who said at the beginning that apparently Noam Chomsky has been a columnist. He writes a monthly column for the New York Times Syndicate, and it has since 2002. Now, as it turns out, that's slightly different from him writing for the New York Times. If he's writing for the New York Times, you know, his articles would appear in the New York Times, in that newspaper and on that website and all this. New York Times Syndicate, you know, they are a company that sort of gathers together the work of writers and then tries to, then, you know, other publications can buy them and print them in their own newspapers or websites or whatever. As it happens, the New York Times does not print Chomsky's articles in their newspaper. Noam Chomsky, who is he's this internationally famous intellectual dissident. At least some years ago, they were saying that he was the most cited man alive. You know, more people were, you know, quoting him in academic papers and newspaper articles and books and things than anyone in history. And New York Times says, "Nah, we don't want to print him in our paper." Not only did it not appear in New York Times, his columns also were not picked up by the LA Times, the Washington Post, or the Boston Globe. Of course, they were printed in newspapers outside the country, which kind of proves our point. I mean, if the You know, Chomsky's so famous that you think that it could only help their newspaper sales, you know? Hey, we've got a regular column by Noam Chomsky. Come read it. You know, granted, there's enough Americans out there who would be angry about the sort of things that he said that, you know, perhaps they could lose some readers, but I think they'd gain more than they'd lose because, you know, what Americans really read the op-ed page anyway? But, you know, how many hungry lefties are there? Oh, wow, this is the paper that prints Noam Chomsky. I'm going to read that. No. So the fact that they don't even print that once a month, you know, kind of hits home really hard, this whole, you know, media ideology. Gotta keep a single political view. We gotta keep it within certain constraints. Chomsky's too far outside of that. Sure, you can print his books and you put them over in the political science section of Barnes & Noble, but that's about all you're allowed to do. No, it's about all the media directors would want. Now I feel like I'm talking gibberish. But no, and then one other thing that came across when reading this book is, years ago I was a cynical man. Yes, I know. Yeah. I put in a pause there so y'all could chuckle to yourselves. Oh, ha, ha. Oh, Jake says he was once cynical when actually he is very cynical in the present. Oh, what a chuckle. Reading Chomsky's stuff actually managed to inspire me a bit, because at the end of most of his books, he says something to the effect of, you know, things look really bad, but if you, you know, it's one of those things, if you don't make any effort to change things, you know nothing's going to happen. There will be no positive change if you don't make an effort to make things change that way. But if you do try, no matter how unlikely, there is a possibility. But if you don't make the effort, there is none. You have doomed that possibility. So, so I always had a bit of inspiration from that. The idea that, you know what? If I don't do something, surely things won't get better. Maybe I gotta do something. And it also reminded me that, you know, we do have some victories here and there. You know, lately I've been really depressed about it all. You know, just, it seems like nothing anyone can do is going to stop this Iraq war, short of, you know, fucking, you know, if you want to go like blow up the Pentagon, you know, maybe the war is going to stop that way. But I'd like to say now, for the FBI listening in, I'm not endorsing blowing up the Pentagon. I'm making a exaggerated example. No, but I mean, protests, writing your congressman is not going to stop the war. You know, waving a sign out in front of the protest is not going to stop the war. The Democrats aren't going to stop the war. This is good for them politically, really. You know, they get to be the, you know, they know how unpopular the war is. The longer the war goes on, the longer they're going to say, we're against the war! So, and then the possible Iran invasion. What the hell can we do that would stop that? With Bush being fucking crazy. But no. Chomsky reminds me, you don't try, nothing's going to change. And that, you know, we do sometimes. There are some wins. Not all and all the time, and sometimes people forget them, or people don't even hear about them in the first place. I remember there was back in the late 90s, there was an effort to, South Africa was going to start creating generic AIDS drugs, because they have an HIV epidemic there, and these drugs were going to help people who couldn't afford them to buy the pricey American version. And the U.S. put pressure on them to can this law for the generic drugs, basically it was going to be a death sentence for thousands and thousands and thousands of South Africans. And there was an effort. Doctors Without Borders and anti-globalization groups and other health groups and other progressive groups and radical groups got together and put this pressure on the U.S. government and on these pharmaceutical companies. And South Africa stuck to their guns. And they passed that law. And, you know, and the U.S. conceded. They said, you know, okay, fine, we'll back off. But, you know, maybe that's a little thing. But there are some victories. So, get out there, folks. Find something to do and do it. Even when it looks hopeless. That'll lead me into this Gen 6 stuff, actually. When I first heard about the Gen 6 case, it was like, nothing that was going to do anything. This fucking little racist city or this treating these people like this. And, you know, nothing we can do is going to help anything. But suddenly, media attention started blowing up. And, you know, suddenly, you know, big MTV actors and, you know, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and tens of thousands of people descend on this little city on the, you know, a few days back. And, you know, the courts pay attention to that sort of thing. I don't know if you know, political pressure always, or, you know, protester pressure always, you know, makes a difference in the outcome, but a lot of times courts like doing shit in, you know, undercover of darkness, in the shadows. If nobody's paying attention, they can get away with stuff. People are paying attention. It's very hard to get away with stuff. So we saw one of the fellas was freed. Well, not freed, but they canceled the sentence. The other guys, as I understand it, we're not sure what's going to happen to them yet, but got to keep the pressure on. The best website, there's two websites. You know, there's freethegenesis.org, and there's Color of Change is the one that I think is doing the most right now for the group. So if you want more information and want to help them out, colorofchange.org is the place to go.
So now we got a song by a band I just found out about called The Horrors, based out of the UK. I'm really enjoying their stuff. I think if you speak to a number of my friends, you'll find that I have good taste in music, but a lot of the stuff that I like isn't necessarily stuff that's good. It's stuff that I enjoy, but, you know, you don't say, wow, this band is so technically amazing, and they have so many poignant things to say. They're true artists. There's a lot of stuff that I just like the sound of, and then I end up sharing with you guys. So the Horrors are, I've been thinking about it, they're sort of gothic rock, and in my mind, as I'm always trying to think about how to describe things, I would describe them as sort of Bauhaus meets the Cramps light. They've got elements of both those bands, but they have more emphasis on discord and yelling. And if you look at pictures of them, you know, they all got the big Susie Sue hair and pale faces and black clothes. And but it, you know, like I said, it's fun and it pretty much works. This song is called She Is the New Thing. I thought it was pretty good. And I'm sure I'll be playing these guys. This year I'm going to make sure and do a Halloween show of just, as I frequently do, of just Halloween music. Although I think I'm going to be splicing in, I think I have some capabilities now to insert more audio from video, so to speak. I could be putting in some creepy samples and movie scenes and assorted weirdness. I'll sort of insert that into the rest of the broadcast, I think. Which has reminded me, I'm realizing today that I'm really a big geek, big nerd. I forget the proper term. But so I'm doing my show. I've got a desktop computer here, and I'm running some audio editing software to record this. I have a USB microphone I'm feeding into that goes directly into the computer. And for the music portion of the show, I have a laptop with an iPod plugged into the laptop to use to draw my songs from, and I have DJ software on the laptop that I'm using, and then I have audio cables running from the laptop to the desktop computer to record these things. So my room is a mess of gadgets and software and wires right now, and I don't think I've ever realized before what this... I'm Cyborg. Apparently, I am. Me and my room are a merger of technology, and we will rebuild him. Anyway, yeah, sorry, digression. The Horrors, She Is the New Thing, and then more music and maybe more talking. Yeah, this show's been kind of odd. Some of the audio is actually like 2 weeks old. Some of it I'm doing at this very moment, which I guess is only... It's one of those statements. It's like saying, I am lying right now. Can you prove that I'm lying right now? How can I be lying about lying and telling the truth and the words coming out of my mouth? I'm going to stop, and I should probably take a nap. So here we go, The Horrors, and some more songs, and maybe some more talking, and if not, I'll get y'all in a week or two with more talking. We'll be right back.
me on my knees, enamored with disease. Now she tries to impress a different sickness.
Make it
Folks, that last song was Marvin Gaye doing Inner City Blues, Makes Me Wanna Holla. With that, we had La Plataforma with Si Hay Que Pelear, which I believe translates into If There Is Fighting. And then we started off with The Horrors, She Is the New Thing. This has been a strange show to put together. It's taken 2 weeks and a number of portions of days, and I'm just kind of confused. I'm not entirely sure if everything I said in this show made sense. And I know I said something about the Gina 6, which is surely out of date by now. And I called them the Gena 6, because I didn't know how it was pronounced, because I'd only read articles, not seen stuff on the news. So I'll see y'all soon. I gotta get out of here. Good night.